This is collective bargaining between the University of Central Florida Board of Trustees and the United Faculty of Florida Chapter of the University of Central Florida. It's July 24th, 2017 at 12:05. I think I'll do that as well as I've ever done.
It's the tie.
Now I'm ready for the... I'm ready for radio. John, here's the minutes from our last bargaining session. They look good to me.
Yep.
Yep, they look good. I was just checking the dates in August.
Okay, great. So the minutes are accepted. Good job, Charlie. Now, John, we're waiting on some copies to be made, I understand.
Right, because the copies we had... We had a glitch, and so they're not showing all the strikeouts.
Okay.
So we thought you'd want to see those.
We're good.
I've been so busy teaching, I've forgotten what research is on this. Yeah, I've got an exam at 2 o'clock.
Are you
teaching
C?
Yeah, B.
Yeah. But B just started.
Yeah.
No, this is the third weekend.
Yeah, B's 2 weeks left. Yeah. This is the second exam already.
When do we find this?
It goes quickly.
Yeah, I guess it does. Well, there's lots of rain. There should be billions of topics on
there. It's finally. It's a good year for that. You can tell because the mosquitoes are out, too.
Oh, yeah,
the
mosquitoes
are. Oh, yeah, it's where are you?
Wow. Yeah. Down on the coast? Yeah. Yeah, the salt marsh mosquitoes are bad this year. The day when we have the most people assembled is when we have our glitch.
Oh, Cynthia? Yeah.
Like the Clemson.
Yeah, she did.
Nice, good for her.
Yeah, she wants to be a dean. She's going to be founding dean of the college up there.
Wow.
That's one of the prettiest college towns, at least on the East Coast. It's really nice.
I'm pleased for her.
Right.
That's something she's wanted for a while, so... And since Michael Johnson just got reappointed for 5 years, there wasn't any chance here, so...
Oh, he did get reappointed. Oh, good. Yeah. I'm behind on my emails a little bit.
Yeah, so...
Good for her.
Yeah.
Well, that's good for Mike, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for her husband got a nice appointment up there, too, so that's good.
Yeah, not good for our department over in biology.
Yeah.
That's
I think the only
part.
Person who's not happy about it is their... daughter. I can't remember how old she is. I was going to say she's about 7 or 8, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think she's 8.
That's tough.
She's,
New school and,
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my kids moved here from Wisconsin about that age. It was a heartbreaker.
Came from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I was just up there a couple of weeks ago.
It's quite the place. Yes, quite the place.
Yeah, ours is about 8, I think.
Okay, I think we're
about to...
Okay, we're getting ready to get started. Do you want to do introductions since we have a whole room full of people?
Sure.
Just the bargaining teams?
I think if they don't mind, why doesn't everyone introduce themselves? They took their time out today. We're good. We're good with that. I'll start. I'm Mike Matamore. I'm with the law firm of Allen Norton Blue, and Sherry and Chuck and I and Ross are the team that represents the university, but I'll let them introduce themselves.
Flynn's not here, so I'll introduce myself. Ross Wolf, College of Health Public Affairs Associate.
Sorry, I'm having
trouble.
Sorry,
trying
to turn it off.
Sorry, too.
That was right on cue.
Sherry Andrews, I'm Associate General Counsel and Associate Provost.
Chuck Riley, Associate Dean in the College of Engineering and Computer Science. We're obviously overcrowded, and also Assistant Vice Provost.
I'm Charlie Piper, I'm the next. And there's Lynn.
And there's Lynn.
Yeah. Lynn Huffman, Arts and Humanities.
Sarah Lovell, I'm not on the bargaining team, but I'm on the sidelines for you guys, and I'm with HR, specifically compensation.
Ashley Connors, I'm from the Arts and Humanities.
I'm Stephanie Wheeler, Assistant Professor in the Department of Writing and Rhetoric.
I'm Florian Mihai, Model Languages.
Laboratory Anthropology.
Luis Martin Fernandez, History.
Mike Cheney, Physics.
Steve Kubler, Chemistry and Optics.
Hale Thomas, Biology.
Lizzie Harris, Biology.
Mary Gillen, School of Social Work.
Paul Fadvisu, English Department.
Jones, Philosophy.
Rich Goss, University Libraries.
J.D. Amplin, English.
Dan Murphy, History.
Christian Ravella, Philosophy.
Thomas Schreit, Writing and Rhetoric.
I'm Black Philosophy. Janine Bio Philosophy.
Elizabeth Shikorska Sociology.
Kelly Carosi, Modern Languages.
Sherry Hodgson, Communications.
Scott Lange, current president of United Faculty of Florida here at UCF.
Dennis Filler, Civil, Environmental, and Construction Engineering.
Mike Armato, Sociology.
Rohan Joala, Center of Distributed Learning.
Sue Bauer, Center for Distributed Learning.
Helen Sterbach, Academic Affairs.
Jen Trolowitz, Academic Affairs.
Brian Nunez, Office of the Provost.
Lucretia Cooney, Faculty Excellence.
Margaret Malanchek, Office of the Provost.
Amy Rechtenwald, Sociology.
Bridget Kovacevic, Anthropology.
Lee Ross Kofa, VP, UFF.
And Lee's also a member of the bargaining team. I'm John Fouth, Biology, and the Chief Negotiator for UFF.
Nick Schupsel, Philosophy, also on the bargaining team.
Mason Cash, Philosophy.
Giovanna Camilla, History.
Scott French, History.
I think that's everybody.
All right.
Well, welcome. Good to see you.
Okay, we finally have our copies. So I'll just give half to you guys and you can decide how to first of them out. And we'll walk you through these. Okay, so part of the reason that we were waiting for these copies to come is they showed all the strikeouts, and they're color-coded. So the yellow are changes that we've made from the last proposal or that were in a previous one. The gray are insertions from the last BOT proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a couple of items that are in blue, and those are entirely new. So let's just walk you through. In 23.1 policy, the changes there are just intended to streamline the language and shorten it. So, for example, it says the parties of this agreement as opposed to the parties of some other agreement, I guess. So striking out language that we don't need. For the substantive parts, we've met you in the middle or more than in the middle on several of the items. And so what we're suggesting for the promotion increases, we'd originally proposed 12% and 15%, and then you had offered no change and then 10%, and so we're suggesting just 10% for promotion to all those different ranks. Under 23.4, what we're suggesting is 2.6% for across the board. If you notice. And then we've got the one-time payment in lieu of retroactive. And so that's the gray language that was adopted off of your proposal. And then you see all that yellow That's extending for the better part of a page. That's all strikeouts of our language from before. And then the big gray insertion from lines 71 to 84 is the equity pool. And so that's your language with one addition, adding the auxiliary employees into that particular one. Because E&G is covered here, and then later in the contract, C&G is covered if there's funds, but auxiliary was left unmentioned there. On line 93, we went down to the 110 incentive awards. The same thing for, then those numbers line up for 50 tip, 50 RIA, 10 SOTLs. The rest of the language has stayed the same. In the deadlines, what we suggested to make the contract language more permanent across contracts is instead of identifying a specific date by number, which would, of course, change from semester to semester, what we're suggesting is making the tips due instead of being in at the end of January, which is when grades are due and a lot of extramural, end of December, when grades are due, it's the end of the semester, folks are headed to vacation, and not coincidentally, a lot of federal agencies have grant proposals due then, moving it to that third Friday of January. So that puts it a little bit after the beginning of the semester and actually behind the Martin Luther King holiday as well. So you've got giving people time to do that. And then the others would line up the first Friday in February, the first Friday in March. So those seem to be kind of natural times to put them. On page 5, we struck out, we took the strikeout that you suggested the last time about striking out the excess awards being added in. And that's it. Those are the major changes we have.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for John?
I think I had one question about moving the tip to later. You said that people need to have to do that as far as making submission, but now you've put the burden on the people who are examining that. So I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
We talked about that because we had several folks in the conversation who'd been on the other side of that, and with the tips being, I think this last time, they were the last award, right? And so that really put folks under a bind.
Nikki, you're the cliche. Were they the last tips?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
You said you thought tips were last.
Were they last?
The last one to finish, but I thought it was Rios that were the last to finish.
Sunil was the last to finish last year.
They used to be in mid-March, and we last year moved them to February. Mm-hmm. 22nd of February, protocol, right?
Yes.
Now this is suggesting
spring break, because I was on the one in the committee.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spring break. So this, just because when you get more time in one space, it hurts the other. So I just wanted to know if you had some sort of plan for.
No, we recognize that. It was just that the date that you had suggested in your proposal was right at the end of the fall semester. And so that's a really bad time because grades are due, like I said, and folks are wrapping up. They're going on vacation. And there's a lot of agencies that have deadlines right about the same time. So doing it when folks are back in the spring but beyond that first week of classes seem to make sense. And it's not decreasing that much time because of the vacation period for the folks who are reviewing it.
But yes.
Well, you know what I mean. Time when UCF is off.
Yes, when spring break and such. But I just wanted to make sure you're aware and had thought about the community side. That's
No, we knew that.
All right. Well, thanks, John. I don't think anyone has a question outside of Charlie's, which I think has been cleared up. So at this time, I think we'll step out to a caucus.
Okay. I guess We'll stay. You have fewer people.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Chuck knows the building.
If we could give Sherry just a minute to catch up with us.
I'll stop it again, I guess.
Thanks, John. Thanks for the work you've done on this offer. We appreciate the time you allowed us to caucus on it. I'm going to go through it. I have some questions. I think Sherry has some questions. I think Chuck has a few questions. So we can get some insight. Kind of going through the article, sort of section by section. The language change that you have proposed for 23.1, I think we can be okay with that. We're going to have to take back the promotion increase. With 23.3...
I'm sorry, Mike, what do you mean by take back?
We're going to have to bring it back to... We're going to have to bring it back and cross it out.
Okay.
Take back doesn't mean turn back tonight.
No, I was just confused about
what
you meant.
No, when we say take back, we just mean anything that has to do with an increase in money. We've got to see how it works.
We've got to do a costing on it. 23.3...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, John.
But in general, you're not opposed to the idea. It's the costing now.
I don't know about that, to tell you the truth. I can't say that we're committed to the practice of 10% for all promotions. That's another question that we're going to have to go and consider.
But wasn't the 10% one of your counter offers?
10%, I think, for one
for
four.
The associate default.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're still good with that.
Okay.
We're getting pretty close on promotion, I think.
Okay.
Now 23.3 on legislative mandated increases. We're going to bring back some new language because we're kind of concerned that someone might read 23.3 and come to the conclusion that there was a mandated increase for this year and there was not one from the legislature. Because it says any such increases shall be implemented as soon as practical. And I know that I think you're trying to hit some language that would just be applicable to each year,
mm-hmm.
whatever that year might be. And we understand that. But we think we might pick up your new language, but also add some clarifying language that there was no increase for 2017-18. The across-the-board salary increase proposed at 2.6%. We're going to cost that and consider that and then respond. If I could now move on to the second page. We had a thought in our caucus, and maybe it's something that we need to spend a little bit more time on, but with regard to the treatment of auxiliary employees who have their own funding sources, which is sort of like a contract and grant person, we were actually thinking about addressing those individuals, and I guess we're going to look at it and think about maybe everyone who is not ENG will be covered by 23.7.
So that's where the CNG is.
So the CNG, instead of 23.7 just being CNG, we're thinking about 23.7 being all non-ENG. Does that make any sense?
Yes, I understand. We actually looked at that possibility, but we realized that with 7 characters, we could do it where it is,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to more changes in 23.7.
And I'm not. I think what I understood is that there may be people funded in a manner other than CNG and other than auxiliary, but still would be in the same type of process, where they would have a dedicated funding source that would increase or not increase. In other words, there's more non-ENG than just CNG and auxiliary.
Can you give us examples of that?
I can't. Somebody
I'm not sure that it actually applies to faculty, but there's another source out there, and you never know how things can change and involve faculty at some point, but it's called state and local in our budget stream.
But, you know, maybe, well,
nevertheless,
we're,
it still
we're
captures
it. We're going to research.
Yeah, we can research it, but I don't think any faculty fall into that category, but sometimes things change, and we can have new things happening.
So in the spreadsheets that we get, would they be identified as state and local? So is it, does it say SNL or something, or?
LOC.
I'm sorry, what did you say? LOC?
You did say and.
When I looked at the spreadsheet, I didn't see that anywhere, because
yeah.
I that would have caught my attention, right. But it's better to be inclusive if we can.
Okay.
Non-EG does that really well.
All right, now I'm on page 2, lines 85 and 86, and I think we've, in the past, explained our reticence to a parity clause. But we have a question about 90 and 91, and we were wondering what your thought processes were in eliminating that language that the provost or designee would have final approval for an award.
Well, the idea that you forwarded last time, or not you, your team forwarded last time, was that the incentive awards were a faculty-driven process, and you know, so the faculty are meeting together and going through those incentive award folders and deciding on not just, well, first a two-step process, one is deciding who merits receiving those, and then the priority order. And so this line that we struck out impinges on that, and so it's now you're giving discretion to someone outside the faculty, or at least in the administration, to decide that to override basically the faculty, and so there's no certainty in that, in everything else that comes in there. You could have a bad actor say, "Oh, no one's going to get awards this year."
Does anybody have any questions or?
No, although you couldn't actually say no one's going to get any awards this year because the contract guarantees that a certain number of awards will be given. But, yeah, I understand
your position.
Your position, yeah.
Going to page 3 of 7, on lines 103 and 104, I think we've talked about that a bit, and I know we are not in agreement on whether that sentence remains in the contract or is deleted.
Well, one of the things that we should point out at this point is that one of the items that we struck from our previous proposal was that equity increase that was basically for folks who hadn't received an award. So it was used to be it's on lines 58 to 62, that strike through.
Right.
And so, in part, to address those issues of compression and other things, eliminating those productivity criteria would help accomplish that goal, but it stays within the framework that we have in the existing contract.
Okay.
So we felt that that's one way to accomplish the goal. It's pretty straightforward. It doesn't require any new language. It's not a new formula or anything that we haven't used repeatedly in the past. And so it would do that pretty easily.
We saw that language was struck, and I think we understand your position on 103 and 104. And I think we've had numerous conversations about it.
We have this conversation every year, every time we open this article.
Okay. Now, with regard, I'm still on page 3, lines 120 through 123. What we want to do is we want to take these dates back for the application deadlines and sort of map them out on a calendar and see what they might bump up against and whether there's sufficient time. But we're going to work something out there that's going to be to everyone's satisfaction. I don't see that hanging us up. One of the questions that we had, and we were just curious, you know, we had a kind of a detail on the on the portfolio, the application, and now it's deleted. We're inviting your thoughts on why that language has been left out.
Well, we maintained our original proposal just because it's far simpler. It lets folks decide how to make their case. It reduces greatly the amount of material that has to be assembled. You know, one of the big costs to faculty, to the university as a whole, and thereby to our students is the time it takes to assemble these packets. When a lot of times a decision that's being made by the committees is based not on all these supplementary items that are in there, but by the faculty members' narrative, their explanation for what they do and how they do it and what their innovations are and things like that. So especially this comes into play with the tips, because probably a really good estimate is it takes a solid week of doing just that application to assemble it. And that's a really high cost, especially when you consider that there are a lot of folks, you know, who apply who don't get it. And so just trying to reduce that and narrow it down to the critical aspects. So it's a cost-benefit analysis. You know, one of the ways to get a better situation is to lower down the cost, and the cost is the time cost is a big cost on that.
Along those lines, I would point out that the first two of the four items that you have listed, cover page, et cetera, and table of contents, those are automatic on the, in the online system that's already populated. So we would probably just strike that as a unnecessary. You don't want to duplicate work.
Oh, I see. So in the online version, that's already a default?
Yeah.
Okay, that would be fine as long as no one tinkers with it. See, that's one of the problems we get into, right, is that because things aren't in the contract, folks, and even if they are in the contract, sometimes folks don't realize it, and then they start to tinker with things, not realizing that's affecting something that we've bargained here at the table. So, it affects you guys as well as affects everybody when that happens. So we can talk about that. I mean, it shouldn't hang things up, but we just have to make sure that folks don't decide, well, on that cover page and then the table of contents, they're going to require something else in there that we haven't bargained or something like that.
And then, you know,
Where are you, Mike?
I'm on really the last thing we have on our list to mention, and that is, because I don't want it to mislead, is we're not in agreement on the stipend for 23.12. And I think that's because, and I'll articulate this, and John, you can respond, and if I'm saying this correctly, but I understand that when someone takes an administrative appointment, that they may receive benefits other than $5,000, whether it's...
Chuck, why don't you?
Yeah, sometimes it's a course release, sometimes there's travel funds that are provided. It sort of depends on what
sometimes
a person
a
works out
team.
With the chair and the supervisor.
Sometimes it's nothing, though.
Right. You just went right where I was going. In many cases, it's nothing. And so that's the difficulty that we're in. I mean, we're amenable to tinkering with the compensation, but the point is there should be compensation for that. It's very uneven across the board. So, for example, I could give the largest example to the other side from nothing that I can think of is a unit where the group gets an administrative salary stipend, they get a course release during the year, they get a month of summer salary, plus they get money for travel and other sorts of things. So we have some people in the situation where they're getting nothing and they're doing a substantial amount of work, and other people who are doing about the same thing are getting all these different things. So what we're trying to do is make it more equitable, more fair, and make sure that people at least receive some salary for doing that additional work. And it should also be included in their effort Okay, so in a lot of cases, that's not being recorded as part of their effort either. Or it's being recorded as service. When it's not service, it's administrative work. So trying to get those things to all line up so that they make sense, they're internally consistent, and that we don't have these broad disparities across units.
Mm-hmm. Based on what John just articulated, does any of you questions or any follow-up with that?
Well, I think something that would be helpful for us, you and I were at a meeting the other day, we hear this a lot, a bunch of people say this. It helps us, I think, if we have specific examples that you provide to us.
Well, how about if we do this? Why don't we just, we'll ask you to provide then a listing of everybody who has a specific titled administrative function, and then what their compensation is for that. In terms of monetary, course releases, and travel funds and other funds.
So you know that doesn't work that way, right? I mean, we don't have a listing of people if they were given some sort of informal task for a couple of weeks. That doesn't pass through our office. There's no central repository for that information.
Right, but it exists, right, at the department level.
So you don't have a specific example is what you're telling me. You want us to go look for your example?
Just compile the data.
I'll make a note.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about informal. We're talking about official positions, right. Directors, coordinators.
It would seem to me that we would associate have to
chairs.
Identify what kind of assignment that we're talking about, and then what has been the practice.
Okay, well we can
work on that.
Yeah, we can work on that. I can give you specific language on what to assemble.
Yeah. We could do that. And I think that's it. Did I overlook anything? I know there was a question. I think one last question, John, is just for clarification. There's a pool of $250,000 for equity increases. And oh, we did? The PhD?
Yeah.
PhD or equivalent?
Oh, okay. No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
I think on line 80 and line 83, we just wanted to ask if we're all thinking the same thing. That's a terminal degree in the discipline in which the person is delivering service.
That was our thought, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's just before we put some more specific language in there, we wanted to make sure that wasn't an issue.
Were you going to ask about 116 also? And then the language that was to meet the applicable criteria was removed.
But we already asked about that. Oh, I think. Well,
yeah,
we,
this.
Couldn't
yeah.
ask it right there. Almost. Okay.
you started to ask the questions.
Well, when you're talking
I'm sorry,
we're
where are you?
116, John, through 119.
When you're talking about all full-time regular employees being eligible for incentive award programs, are you... Is the assumption there that everybody that's in your unit would be
eligible
for either a TIP, a RIO, or a SOBL? Because you have A&P employees in your unit.
Given the rest of the eligibility.
Well,
we very well could have folks, you know, who are A&P who are doing research or have other functions, you know. So, the point is, we don't want to exclude someone who's doing those sorts of things. Whether
the dentist in your unit would be eligible for one of those, I'm just
if they're doing research, work. Yeah, sure, why not? Because part of it is trying to set up these situations where everybody's incentivized, right? So you want everybody in the unit to be incentivized, and so if the dentist is doing research, which And I can think of an example. So it was about 20 years ago. The cause of ulcers wasn't really known all that well for decades. And it was actually a dentist who discovered that it was caused by a bacterium. And so that totally changed how we treat ulcers. Now you treat them with antibiotics instead of doing all sorts of other things. So, you know, occasionally dentists even step outside their discipline into, you know, outside the oral cavity. And they can do great things. So we want to just try to keep the incentives there for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. We just want to understand what your thought process was in making that change. All right. Anything else?
We'll come back with some answers.
So it's on August. So we'll come back on August 1st?
Is it August 1st?
I think it's the 1st, right? Or it's pretty soon. And so you'll bring a proposal at that point?
That's on 10.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Yeah.
Thank you all for
Yep, thank you, everybody. Thank you for wrapping up in time for me to go get my exam. And